Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network. Hello and welcome to a very special Scaredy Boys Christmas edition, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Krampus. When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, Max gets disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Meanwhile, this lack of festive spirit unleashes the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. All hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for one another if they hope to survive.
You better watch out.
Who, I think, was it Dan on Twitter who put us onto this one? Suggested we watch this for Christmas?
Maybe.
I think it was Dan.
I believe that's right, yeah.
Thanks, mate. This movie was fucking wild.
Oh, it was. Do you know what was great about this movie? Is it's like, hey, is this movie? And it's currently at zero, everyone. Mm. And now it's at 120 and you didn't even get a chance to blink.
Yep.
Like, fuck.
Great cast.
Great cast.
Good cast, for sure. What I liked about it was that it started off and it had the very familiar trappings of a Christmas movie. You've got a kid who loves Christmas and he's getting bullied for it, but, you know, the spirit's still there. You've got the lovely Omar or whatever grandma's name was. And then all of a sudden, you're literally in a nightmare horror zone. It was great.
I was reading a great thing in that just about Christmas movies in general, which is like, hi, I'm an adult in a Christmas movie. I don't believe in Santa. However, I have never bought gifts for my children every year. They just appear.
Right.
And I just assume that that's fine.
Yeah.
So based on this film, in the universe of Krampus, Santa exists, right? Because the inverse of Santa exists. So it's like, if you believe, Santa will help you. If you don't believe, Satan.
Yeah. Like, well, I love the description. I think it was in the film, but that Krampus is Santa's shadow.
That's cool.
And then hence the reason that he's got all the demonic versions of all these wonderful Christmas things that are suddenly horrific and awful. But it was genuinely a lot of fun. We did talk about this. The tone of the film was confusing.
Look, I was talking with you this before we started, Damo, and you might just feel free to jump in. I was thinking about this movie today before we recorded this, and I was like, the fuck, actually, what's that about? And I had a good time, but what are the rules of this horror film?
I don't know. It gets stuck between, like, it could genuinely be a family holiday film, but then it also kind of wants to be a really scary horror film.
Yeah.
And then for the most part, it's just CGI gingerbread men.
Yeah, like that's the thing. You had this scene where they're in the attic and you've got you've got the angel doll thing that was literally
and the big jack-in-the-box.
And the jack-in-the-box worm thing that just was swallowing children whole. And that was, for me, as a scaredy boy, generally like, oh, that's awful. I kind of, oh, I don't know. I don't want to watch that. And then we cut to, what's his name, fighting the gingerbread in the kitchen. And that was goofy, silly fun.
That scene is like the perfect example of the tone of this movie.
Yeah.
It just goes back and forth. Like, it's so weird that within the attic, you've got the terrifying and then the kind of silly.
Yeah, like literally ends with the dog eating one of the gingerbread.
You know. But even like earlier than that, you have the unsettling thing of they're looking outside and you can see shadows running and the snowmen are appearing and there's some genuinely creepy shit. And then CGI gingerbread goblins. Yeah. It's like if Guillermo del Toro had started remaking Gremlins and then quit the project and another like hack for hire director
came in.
And just like did something like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's just, look, it was fun. It was entertaining. I had a good time. Don't know if I'd ever watch it again. Is it a good movie? I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, well, like you said, like definitely had a good time during it. But then at the end, there was something left unfinished. Like you had a meal of McDonald's and you're like, but I'm still hungry afterwards. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the experience, but I'm still hungry for something.
I will say this, and you know, spoilers, I guess. But I did actually like the end. I got really angry, and I'm sure we all did.
Yeah.
That it was going to fake us out with it was all a dream. But I did like the double reveal of, oh, no, it's not a dream. This is what happens. Everyone's actually fucked. But also, what happened to the rest of the people in the neighborhood? Are they all dead?
Dead.
Whole town.
Or are they snow globes as well?
Maybe. But like, again, what are the rules? Did they all get punished because he doesn't believe? That's a lot of pressure on a boy.
Mm. He's a piece of shit.
Tell you what, Max. Fuck, all you had to do was send that letter to Santa. Oh, actually, you know what? You know who else is a piece of shit? Grandma.
Yeah.
At any point during that
film. All she had to do is speak English at the start. Just tell them.
Fuck. All she had to do was, when he's writing that letter, be like, oh, I don't really believe anymore. She's like, you have to believe, because if you believe in Santa, if you don't believe in Santa, the evil version of Santa will come and murder your whole fucking family. Also, like, the people who are punished in this movie don't all deserve punishment. Especially the sister.
The sister
gets killed horrifically early on. She's kind of half redeemable.
Yeah. Well, she was. I mean, she sort of gave her brother a bit of guff about, oh, you still believe in Santa, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. But otherwise, she was fine.
That's just general sibling banter.
Yeah. There are a lot worse characters who lasted a lot longer.
Yeah. But even like, you know, the uncle who started out as a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then did some nice things. We were like, oh, he's okay. He didn't really have like a big send off.
No.
He just kind of like went outside and was gone.
Yeah. Once the elves, I think it was.
Well, they jumped on the back of the Jack in the Box to save his daughter. So again, redeemed himself.
Yeah.
But I thought like the angel, Tony Collette's character having the family angel would become a bigger deal. And
oh, yeah.
It just sort of did. Like,
yeah, it's pulled on a few threads but didn't really go anywhere with them.
And I mean, like, as fun and creepy and kooky as the other things were, just having Krampus on his own would have been fucking terrifying as well. His first appearance, what is he?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. Actually, we talked about this while watching it too. Like, one of the things in Max's letter was that he wishes he could spend more time with his sister.
Yes.
Don't kill the sister off. She's the first character to get wiped out. Her at the end and they're spending time together.
Yeah.
It was just weird. And the mole too. That was weird.
And I thought that's what this movie was going to be, because it set itself up to be like Christmas movie, almost family friendly, but then of course, in the worst possible way, he gets his wish. He gets to spend time with his sister. He gets closer. Mum and dad don't, you know, talk more and all this sort of stuff. That rebuilding of the family together through this awful, horrific scene would have had and then, you know, as a family, they managed to defeat Krampus and his minions.
Yeah.
I think that would have been such a satisfying.
I don't mind him losing. You know, mind him losing.
It's different.
It's that, because I think your horror film is either bleak or it's triumph.
Yeah.
And this is bleak, which is okay. And again, I kind of dug that ending.
You know what I hate?
What?
A bad, like, sacrifice.
Yes.
And you've got plenty of them in this movie. But Adam Scott's one where he's like, you guys go, I'll take this. They don't gain anything from him standing there and like shooting at the monster.
Yeah.
Like, also, what is that?
I don't even know. At first, when it first happened in the movie, I thought it was Krampus under the ground.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
But I don't know if it is.
Maybe it's just the snow.
But yeah, if he had jumped in the car as the adult who actually knows how to drive a snowmobile or whatever
it was. Shit that all the parents kept going, so like sacrificing themselves terribly.
Yeah.
So that the children who are like under 10,
right,
you drive this big snowmobile.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Oh. And even the grandma, how she didn't want to leave the house. Like, the amount of time they wasted with her closing the door and then her son, Adam Scott, telling her, no, you've got to come with us. And then for what? Krampus came down, gave her one look, opened up his bag, and she was done.
I think the kid was like to the dad, oh, she wants us to get away.
Right.
Just communicate. Just be like, I'm going to draw his attention. You get to the snowmobile and,
To be fair, I didn't mind the idea of her finally facing up against Krampus to save her family, which is what she didn't do last time. But again, it was for naught.
He pushed her over like a wet paper towel. Like, she was nothing.
Should have set him on fire.
I mean, you know, that's our go-to solution. Also, I want a Krampus to wink.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
yeah. Although I will say, how fucking cool is that flashback, like, animated sequence?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the design of this was awesome. Like, the puppets or whatever they were generally, like you said, Guillermo del Toro, very-esque, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And the Krampus design was fucking sick too.
Oh, yeah. Like, once you actually saw, like, he was, the size and the looming of him was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was cool.
And then once you saw the face, like, holy crap.
He's deeply upsetting.
I don't want anything
to do with this set.
Just wanted a wink though.
I mean, he doesn't have any eyelids.
I tell you what, it would have been really great if they actually just started with a kid coming down thinking he's caught Santa in the act, and it turns around and it's Krampus's face looking at it.
Jesus. I mean, I guess that's what it does. It want to be Gremlins or does it want to be scary?
It doesn't know.
Yeah.
It
doesn't know. And look, again, I loved the movie. I had a great time. I think I gave it 3 stars.
I think I might have too.
I mean, it was fun. But I think it's one of those movies that's like you enjoy it while it's happening. Hey, tell you what it was. Brisk.
Yeah.
Nice, tight 90, 80 minutes.
That's what I love.
The ideal time of a movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
As one thing horror has going for it, usually it is under 2 hours.
Yeah. They pretty much usually just give you enough to go, oh, these people are all right. Yep. Cool. Now let's watch them slowly get destroyed or quickly get destroyed in this case.
Yeah. But even like giving you enough. Like they made his family look like shit, and then they made the other part of his family look worse. And it was like, everyone sucks.
Yeah, everyone does kind
everyone
of suck.
Everyone does. I don't want these. Hang on, guys. Are we supposed to actually be on Krampus' side?
Probably.
Is he actually the protagonist of this film? But are we supposed to care about Krampus?
Because they have like Adam Scott answer a phone call as if it's like, oh, I thought you weren't going to be working. And he's like, oh, it's business, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And then the even worse parent comes. I don't know, yeah. It's just weird.
The ones who leave the baby outside. Oh, yeah. Oh man, I fucking love that. I do love the bait and switch though, where he's like the big gun nut who loves everything, yeah. And you know, Adam Scott's getting bullied for being a Boy Scout, but then all the Boy Scout shit is what's keeping him alive. That was nice. I did like that. I like the idea that you just have to keep the fire going.
That was cool.
That was very good.
And you know, the minute they let their guard down.
Again, though, if the grandma communicated that better.
Right.
Rather than she just at one point was like, keep the fire going, and everyone's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
If she was to say, if we keep the fire going, we will survive. Right. Everyone, you know, they could have taken shifts to stay awake.
She could have just said, by the way, there's this thing called Krampus. It exists. It's coming for us, instead of just sort of silently stoking the fire. Also, speak English if you can speak English.
Yeah.
Like, why are you using the 12-year-old to communicate?
Oh, I do. One of my favorite things in a movie where someone's speaking another language is where, so one character speaks in that language and the other character is kind of translating for them, will like translate for everybody else.
Yeah.
But then when they talk to one another, one of them's still speaking English, which I know happens. I mean, that's a thing. But I just love that dumb trope in like, I'll translate. I also love that the 12-year-old boy speaks fluent German.
Yeah. I mean, it's down with the kids. The kids love speaking German these days, so they're all fluent.
And like their dad speaks German, and like I think speaks German to her at one point.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, I get.
It seems.
Because that's your son.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, Adam Scott's character is her kid. So, yeah, he would speak German.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just the idea of like having this 12-year-old boy be like, no, I'm fluent in German.
Mm.
And then it's like, what a surprise you brought murder Santa to our house. The little boy who speaks fluent German is a bad guy.
All right, so question, were we scared?
Not particularly.
There were times of like a bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
I think Jack in the Box Worm was the closest I came to being scared.
Yeah, very unpleasant.
Yeah, I kind of wasn't ready for it either because we'd seen the Jack in the Box previously with the sister.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a big reveal other than I think the fairly stereotypical she got pulled under the car or whatever it was.
The two bits that were a little bit creepy were the bits where the cousins are going up the stairs in the attic. Fuck, guys, we haven't touched on the MVP of the film, which is Auntie Doris or Bertha or whatever her name was. The aunt, the fucking alcoholic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Teaching him how to make peppermint schnapps.
She's pretty good.
She was excellent.
She was very good.
She had a good big hero moment too, where she got the shotgun and just pumped rounds into everything.
Yeah.
Toni Collette felt like she was in a different film to everyone else.
She was acting in a different caliber to everybody else. I think you just get that with Toni
Collette.
That
is just the natural caliber, I think.
You put her in anything and all of a sudden.
Also found that, all right, particularly in the attic, anything that Toni Collette faced was genuinely horrifying.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the other characters got the sillier. Like, she's getting hung at one point.
Yeah, she was getting hung at one point. Holy shit, there's like so much that happened in this film. I've forgotten half of this. By the fact, we watched it 2 days ago. The witch is in the fireplace pulling very slack-jawed kid out. Literally, I don't know if he said one word.
He never spoke.
He never spoke.
Big fan. Big fan.
Probably couldn't.
Probably didn't know how.
No.
Probably inbred.
But when she was pulling him out and turns and sees a gingerbread, which is that's the most like cartoonish of all the horrors. But then her scream and reaction.
She shuts legit. Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you would. Because you wouldn't be like, oh, what the fuck is this creepy? You'd, I don't know about you guys, but if the thing that I like to eat was suddenly like, I'm going to eat you, I would probably piss myself and go into a coma.
Unless you are the slack-jawed kid who's like, oh, this big hook's just come down the chimney with a gingerbread man on it. I'll just eat it straight from the hook.
I've been told.
Yes.
Although, can he comprehend speech?
I don't think so.
I fucking love, too, how they get him. Literally, the gingerbread comes down hanging from the hook.
Yeah.
It does the pan of the room and just stops on him and he's like... Like, he smells it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that fat kid's fucked. He's in trouble.
He went fishing.
He went fishing. And this is where it's like bringing those Home Alone-esque jokes in. But then again, the tone switches straight back to, okay, now it's horror. And then, he gets pulled up the chimney. Mum and Dad really aren't too distraught in that moment, I wouldn't say. But then when we go outside and there's that little snowman version of him, that was creepy.
Yeah.
That was fucked.
Because I was like, is that why there are more and more snowmen appearing on the properties? Because they turn into them. But then they didn't do anything with it. The other scene I was going to say was the scene when they go to the attic and you hear the sister's voice and she's like, "It's hey, come and help me," and it's just a bit wrong. And you know it's not the sister, and you know they're fucked.
Well, we did sort of kept waiting for the sister to come back at some point. We're like, well, no. She, because the tone of this movie is all over the shop.
Well, because it just, from a writing point of view, it just seemed like such a waste to kill her first. And also, we never saw, like, we saw her talking to her boyfriend at the start of the film, and she was, you know, going off through the blizzard very wisely to his house, but then we never saw him again. So it's kind of
Johnny Bong Warner, where was he?
Right. Yeah. You've set him up to be a bad decision, yet there's no, you know, reward from him getting slayed. As well as the parents just go, "Oh, there's a blizzard. Be back in an hour."
How good's the scene where the two parents are staring out the window at the blizzard and then the kid comes at the end of the scene and goes, "It's gotten dark outside. This is a problem." And they go, "Oh, yeah."
Oh, yeah. Fuck, mate. I guess the movie's no good, guys. Yes. Nah, it's fucking, there's some solid shit in it. Fuck.
It's fun.
But again, there are some, the elves are scary. Yeah. Krampus is scary. The fucking angel of death is terrifying.
Yeah, half the toys were scary, then half weren't. Like the bear and the robot, shrug. Who cares?
Yeah.
But then the angel.
I could take a bear or a robot.
I could take a bear.
Yeah. And a gingerbread man.
Yeah, probably.
Don't waste your bullets on them.
Fucking.
You can literally eat them. I mean, the kid did have a bite.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So, did we think our characters acted wisely?
Sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes they did, like, but again, so like, grandma, very wise. She knows the rules. She keeps the fire stoked. Yeah. Unwise, though, not telling anyone what the fuck's going
right.
on. Withholding crucial information. You know what, Nan? You fucking deserve to
die.
Yeah,
yeah.
You piece of shit.
And there was a lot of those things where someone's holding a gun. The thing shows up that's horrific and awful, and they're all standing there in shock until someone says, "Shoot it!"
I would argue, though, could that potentially be a real reaction? Would you be so shocked
Probably, but that's when I like
piss myself comatose.
Yeah, but when I like Aunt Bertha doesn't hesitate. She starts firing rounds like drunk. Nothing else. She's had more than enough
She's
snaps.
Not entirely sure that what she's seeing is real. She's just going. Yeah. She's potentially just shot four innocent children who've come to sing carols. Yeah.
She thinks they're her grandkids. She doesn't give a shit anymore.
I hate them all. But no, I mean, and then like Toni Collette does some clever things. Adam Scott's like easily the most resourceful. Even Max does like an internal thing, trying to like reason with it, like sacrificing himself for the family members.
Max doesn't have a lot to do during the middle stages.
Yeah,
of the movie,
if he's our protagonist, which he definitely is, he really doesn't do much.
He just disappears from it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're meant to give your protagonist choices,
yeah.
He doesn't have any choices.
Also, the grandma knows what causes Krampus to come. Be more active in not letting Max lose hope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, that's very good. And then even once he does, if grandma is basically playing Home Alone and setting up fortifications.
And no one knows what she's losing.
Exactly.
Her fucking
we see
mind.
Her potting around in the background and she's actually setting up this amazing arsenal for when Krampus and his minions show up.
Right. That would have been cool. Instead, she just stoked the fire.
Yeah, to be fair, letting the 14-year-old and the 10-year-old boy be the like Toni Collette could have gotten that fucking car.
Yeah.
Like at any point, the people have said, as you've said, the sacrifices are pointless.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
grandma, be more alert to when they bring Krampus's sack into the house.
Yes, she's ready for something off to come.
Yeah,
and yet there's a big sack at the door. Someone brings it in, and then we don't worry about it.
Yeah, she's the real failure in this movie.
But also, the sister knows now. Like at that point, that something's wrong, and she's like, "Oh, this mysterious sack that I found outside. Now that I know that there's a demon Santa, I better open these presents."
Yeah, she's irrational too. Doesn't she know? But she opens them after her son's been taken, doesn't she?
Yeah, so I think she's in, because we had the fire, the tree burnt. So I think she's rewrapping some of the presents that got burnt.
Yeah, and maybe just got included mixed up. Them.
Yeah.
I can get behind that a little bit. Mm. It's the decision to let their daughter go out in the blizzard at the start. That's pretty bad.
Ridiculous.
Fucking baffling. Because that's not even like a horror thing. That's just, there is a, even like before you know about the supernatural element. It is a fucking blizzard that's knocked out the power.
Right.
It is so bad out there, you're going to send your daughter down the road to fuck her boyfriend. Like, again, even like, I'm just thinking of like, you're not going to send your 15, 16-year-old daughter to her sketchy fuck, and he's right. Clearly sketchy. And there is literally a throwaway line from Toni Collette, which is like, it's anywhere, you know, Adam Scott's like, oh, but it'll be fine. She'll be staying there. Mm. And Toni Collette's like, that's worse.
That's worse.
So why did you let her go?
Yeah. You've got the perfect excuse. Ah, no, sweetheart. There's a blizzard outside.
No, I'm sure, you know, and then maybe she can run away. But don't give her permission to leave. That's just...
Right.
Although, hang on, guys. Because we don't ever establish the rules of this universe, does Krampus make everybody fucking stupid? Is he like a lazy demon and is he like, oh, I better do my magic to make everyone a big, dumb fuckhead?
Right. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, so that it's easier to catch them. An old lady, she's already been exposed to his magic, so she's clued in.
Is it in the early stages, is a little light on for seeing people get killed?
Yes. Well, it did have a PG rating, which I actually read basically because Christmas movies are hard things to sell, especially horror Christmas movies. So basically they were pitching this film and until they agreed to give it a PG rating, it didn't get funded.
As soon as the PG rating came in, you tell it's PG-13 because there's no blood.
Right, exactly. And often the deaths happen off screen and this sort of stuff, which does, again, it just fucks with that tone so much more.
I think if you're going to start the movie in the mall, it would have been good to meet more of the neighbours. Mm. And then in the early stages of the movie, you can see Krampus killing the neighbours.
Yes.
It was so baffling to have the daughter go out. Like, I thought for sure they were going to be like, all right, you can go, but you have to take one of your cousins with you.
Yeah.
And a cousin was going to get picked off.
Yeah.
So weird they killed the daughter.
Mm.
Yeah, that early.
Mm.
That early. Ballsy if you do it late.
Well, it was just ballsy in general. Because it just,
yeah.
I would never would have guessed they would have done that.
No, even once it happened, we're still like, no, she'll come back somehow.
It wasn't until the end of the movie that I was like, oh, fuck, she's gone.
She's done.
It was weird.
So, well, how would we, or what's a wise way to survive in this Krampus world? I mean,
guys, I'm just going to put it out there. You actually can't survive.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
There's actually no way. The only way to survive is if you are the person that he deems your punishment is to know that he's been here and killed everyone.
Mm. Factor in, too, that it's really late in the day that you actually find out what is happening.
Yeah, true.
It's not until the grandma would say to us, oh, yeah, here's my backstory. You go, oh, cool, Krampus is here to kill us.
Mm.
You would just think weird shit had been happening.
And then even...
So how do you even defend against something you don't even know what it is?
Correct. And even if the rule is just, right, keep... So obviously the way to survive is to keep the fire lit. So right. You can't get in.
Yeah.
Don't open those presents. But then at the same time, like, then the elves just smash through the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes the whole fire thing...
The fire thing.
Like, and they put the fire out in like a second.
I would love it if the fire was more of an important thing.
Well, like, I like the lore behind that. Of like,
oh, that's great, yeah.
He can't come in unless the fire's out, so he makes everything cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that all the fires go
out. It's also great because fire is our default form of attack for us.
Yeah.
Personally.
So you know what? We'd win.
We'll be like,
we love fire. We just set the whole fucking town on fire.
We immediately throw the Christmas tree in the fireplace.
Come on, Merry Christmas, son of a bitch, you filthy animal.
I thought the grandma was going to light the house on fire.
Oh, okay.
And try and kill him.
Yeah, try to light Krampus on fire.
I mean, if grandma really wanted to sacrifice herself, throw yourself on the fire.
Yeah.
Throw yourself on the fire, grandma. Do something decent with your sacrifice.
She should have made a bomb and then like blew herself up.
But again, here's the thing, right? We do all that. We might survive. But like the elves will kick down the doors and put the fire out. And then at the end of the day, even if like one of us is the one left, we reason with Krampus and he's like, no, you're in a snow globe forever. No one, like, you can't win. You actually can't beat him.
Mm.
It's a hopeless situation.
It is.
I got to be honest, the snow globe forever thing doesn't seem that bad.
Well, yeah, but no, think about it. They hate one another.
Yeah, but they kind of worked it out, right? Like, didn't they?
Well, I think the idea is that they can never leave.
Right. I mean, yeah, they're not leaving.
But the problem with it is that it's not even like, oh, you're trapped reliving the same day again. Mm. It's you're trapped reliving the period from when you wake up to when you go downstairs.
True. Because
that's when they figure it out. He opens his present.
It's the bell.
It's the bell.
So you're thinking,
everyone seems to remember everything, and then
So you're thinking at that point it resets.
Maybe.
Or what unless they just. I think because
was that the first instance, and so now they're just in there forever.
But my gut feel is that the punishment is that they are aware, so they hate one another. They don't want to spend time with one another, but they're aware of what's happened.
So they'll just kill each other eventually, won't they?
Probably.
And then Krampus will just shake it and be like, "Ah, fuck it," and throw it in the bin.
Right. Well, so when I was reading up on this, there's. Because of the ambiguity of the ending, there's two fan theories. One is the one we're talking about, the end girls.
Fuck, I cannot believe they're a fan theory. They're fucking incredible. That is fucking incredible.
Isn't it amazing? Anyway, so the end girls and their family are trapped in the snow globe, condemned to repeat Christmas morning for eternity in a twisted version of hell. Or two, that it's actually a happy ending and the snow globe is Krampus's means of watching over them. So the director, he didn't say either way, but there has been a comic that's come out after this movie. And the comic has murdered characters that are resurrected without any hint of a twist, basically showing that Krampus is willing to give people a second chance as long as they prove they've learned their lesson. So Max being brave enough to stand up to him and learn his lesson. And so the comic is sort of suggesting that actually this is a good ending. Like they've actually, now they're being somehow protected by Krampus.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
I get behind that.
I do, except the tone of the film doesn't belay that, because in the last shot of the film is Krampus creeping away. You see thousands of snow globes, yeah, and then all of the watching monsters. Over them. But is he good or is he bad?
Yeah, do you want Krampus watching over you?
Is Santa not real? Is it just Krampus?
Krampus is Santa, and it's just the folklore's gotten mixed. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
That a lot, actually.
Yeah, that you better watch out. You better be good, because for goodness sake, Krampus will fucking murder the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I think they get another chance. That's what's happened.
That's them realizing.
And it's him. He's put them up there and he's going to watch over them, make sure they don't fuck up again.
You got one Christmas day, right? You get through this Christmas day and at the end of the day, you still believe in harmony and Santa Claus and Christmas and shit. Or if you fuck it up, I will put your snow globe into hell's asshole. Yeah. That's what that thing was. It was hell's butthole.
It was hell's big old butthole.
Spicy bumhole.
I wouldn't read too much into all the creatures jumping out in the last shot. I think that's just your typical kind of
That was a cheap jump scare. Yeah.
So maybe we'd be fine. We'd end up in the snow globe. And of course, we're all friends.
Would we be fine? Because the thing is, one of us has to stand up to Krampus to get that ending.
Well, also, boys, you're discounting a very small fact. Fucking love Christmas. This boy is not believing.
I quite like it as well.
Krampus ain't coming to our house. I'm not gonna.
So you're not tearing up your letter to Santa.
I know this contradicts our usual rule.
Yeah.
Of like, I just wouldn't go there anyway. But I'm not. This is different. I have to not believe in like the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah.
And I believe in the spirit of Christmas.
So you're saying you've posted your letter 3 weeks in advance. You put extra stamps on just for security. Yeah.
And you know what? I sent letters for both of you.
Okay, no, but beautiful. Say you're,
the letter says, "Dear Krampus, come to my house, murder my friends."
Say it's out of your control.
Yeah.
Like someone else in your family.
Someone else in my family has done it.
Yeah.
Well, no, but surely I'm okay because I still believe.
Oh, but then you're dead anyway. It's up to that person to face Krampus.
But isn't the logic, though, that because he's the last one, but when like, he gives up, it summons Krampus.
There was a baby there. Do you know what I mean? Like the baby still got punished for his disbelief.
Yeah, look. I mean, and that baby got punished for having shit parents who left it out fucking side.
Yeah, that baby probably better off, to be honest. But also, like, shouldn't Omar know that Santa's real if Krampus is real? Like, shouldn't she still have... she still does have belief. Because this is where he's getting it.
Omar fucked up.
Yeah. Omar fucked up. Omar twice. Is the real villain of this piece.
Fucked up twice.
There was a time when we thought maybe she was Krampus.
Also, the Krampus is based on a real thing. Not a real thing, but like a real myth, yeah? Where a guy, like, the idea is that you chase people down the street and beat them with a stick.
You whip them with a stick.
Is that genuinely it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just good holiday fun time.
Fuck, I wish that had been just a movie. It's like he doesn't kill people, take them to hell. He just chases after them and spanks the shit out of them.
I wish Omar was more traditional and forced her family every year to reenact the spanking.
Yep. Come on. No pudding until you've spanked your grandma.
Winks included.
Yeah, absolutely.
Winks all around,
Fuck.
Okay, so let's say Krampus comes to our house. What do we do? Do we die immediately? Do we defend? Does one of us stand up for Christmas? Tom, if you're such a big Christmas lover, do you think that would be enough for you to push aside your cowardliness.
I think, but again, I think I'd be fine. Even if one of you dickheads fucked up, I reckon I wouldn't be taken out because I believed.
Okay, you're not really working for the team here.
No.
Never does.
No, never does. I don't know why I'm surprised.
I mean, no, like I would have the courage to stand up to Krampus. Well, no, because I wouldn't be like, I fucked up Krampus. I stopped believing. I'd be like, Krampus, what the fuck? I wouldn't reason with him. I'd fight with him. I'd be like, hey, you big piece of I have made sure that I know the rules of any horror thing I'm encountering. So, you know, I'm not watching the Ring video. I'm not fucking kicking over any fucking rocks.
Right.
I did everything I could and you still turned up. You know what? Fuck you. Take me to hell.
Okay. And he will.
Yeah, I know he will. Krampus, if you're listening, I don't actually want to go to hell.
Krampus reminds me of my, what grade was I in? 10th grade.
I thought you were going to say like a family member.
No.
That one with our goat hooves. What's his name? Satan.
Yeah. We've all got one, a family member like that. Now, it reminds me of my like 10th grade maths teacher who was about similar proportions to Krampus and would wear these sweaters and was very intense and made everyone very nervous. But if you were a bit of a smartass to him, which I was not that kid. I was never a smartass. He liked you then. He respected you pushing back a bit.
Oh.
Because there was this one time where he asked me, what's the definition of something? But I had the textbook open in front of me. So I read it word for word. So he slowly walks up. He closes it in front of me and he said, all right, now what was it? But I just said it. And my short-term memory is pretty good.
Yeah.
So I said it back to him word for word. And he basically winked at me Krampus style. And we were buds from then on.
Yeah.
So I think Krampus is the same. I think even if you just push back for whatever reason, whether it's because – you know, oh, I fucked up. Yeah, let my family go. Or fuck you, man. I love Christmas. How dare you?
You big fucking grinchy piece of shit.
I think he would be like, you know what? You're a bit of all right.
Wink.
Wink. And on that note, that's all the scaredy talk we
have. Damo, stop.
What?
How dare you?
What?
How dare you? This was a big Christmas episode. So because it's Christmas, we decided after watching Krampus that we weren't done with our horror-themed Christmas. So we picked possibly the spookiest horror film themed around specifically Christmas of all.
Can I give the synopsis for it?
You certainly can.
The Muppets Christmas Carol is a 1992 American musical fantasy comedy drama film adapted adapted from Charles Dickens' 1843 novella, A Christmas Carol, which tells the tale of Ebenezer Scrooge, miser extraordinaire who is held accountable for his dastardly ways during nighttime visitations by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. It stars Michael Caine as Scrooge, Gonzo as Charles Dickens, Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit, and is one of the greatest movies of all time.
It's true.
Five stars.
I mean, five stars. You also left out Rizzo the Rat as himself.
Rizzo and Gonzo made this film.
Oh, well, that kiss.
That kiss.
We've
got to go straight into that kiss.
There is a moment in the film, and I highly recommend you watch it. When this episode comes out, maybe we'll put a gif out of this moment where they've fallen off the roof and Gonzo being Gonzo, who loves that shit, is like, that was fucking incredible. And Rizzo's not as impressed. And there's like this beat where Gonzo's like, what? And they look at one another and then Rizzo just gives him a little kiss on the nose. Most adorable fucking, it'll make you believe in magic and Christmas.
Yeah. And love.
And love.
The three of us went wild. We were having a very good time, but that's when it became vocal. We got very loud with that kiss happened.
It elevated it.
Now, to be fair, people are probably hearing this and going, you pieces of shit, you copped out. You picked a fun Muppet movie.
Oh.
There are ghosts in this film. Therefore, it is technically horror.
Spooky ghosts.
I say to those people, you don't know how cowardly we are, sir. Yeah.
You also probably haven't watched Christmas Carol in a while because the Ghost of Christmas Past is the fucking worst thing in the world.
I'd argue it's worse now than it was back then because you expect like quality effects and what you get is a death child.
And to be fair, I think, in my opinion, for 2019, the Christmas Carol, Muppet Christmas Carol, Ghost of Christmas Past has usurped Lupita Nyong'o as scariest thing I saw this year.
Probably the scarier voice.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah.
A scarier face. Scarier everything, really.
And you're not ready for it because, like, this is a Muppet film.
Yeah.
One of the Muppets will be the ghost, which is originally what they were going to do. They were going to have, like, Miss Piggy is one of them and blah, blah, blah.
It's really out of place.
It is really out of place, which is why it's actually genuinely a bit unsettling.
To be fair, though, I like that the ghosts – because, like, could you imagine fucking having Kermit as a ghost of Christmas yet to come? He just doesn't speak and just points at a tombstone.
A waste, because he's got one of the all-time great voice acting performer. Has it been the same guy?
No. So Jim Henson was obviously the original Kermit and he died. And then his son took over as Kermit, I think, for a bit. And then there's another guy who's been doing him ever since.
So the guy who was doing Christmas Carol and the guy who did the Muppets movie in 2011.
Different people.
Man, he nails it.
Sean. We all know. Yeah. It's not about the puppeteer.
It's about the character.
It's about the felt man.
The green felt man.
Who is,
honestly, he is the actor of our generation.
People are going to be like, nah, Pacino, Nicholson. Bah!
Fuck off. Get out.
Have you ever seen them have the range of a Kermit the Frog? With just one look or twist of his mouth, right. I will know if he's sad, happy, or frustrated.
Yep. Have you ever cried because a frog went,
Have you ever seen a man portray the agonizing grief of losing his beautiful frog son better than Kermit the Frog? Just walking in the door and seeing his family being like,
trying to keep it together.
Trying to stay positive.
It's the line. I think he'll really like the spot, the hill. Yeah. I think he would have really liked it. And you're like,
there were some ducks.
You buried your fucking child.
No, but even like the fact that I think.
Yes, the ducks. No, the.
The kids mention, it takes dad a little longer to walk home these days.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about this film is that it's a Muppets film. So all Muppets films genuinely do have a lot of heart. But this one, it didn't play like a Muppets film. It was genuinely heartbreaking. And like, even when I was reading up on it, it was saying, the reviews were saying, like, it's one of the few Christmas Carol versions where you actually see Tiny Tim be sick.
Yep.
Normally, yeah, he's got the crutch and all this stuff, but he was coughing. Like, you're like, oh, he's got pneumonia. This is fucking way back whenever. Yeah. He's going to die.
Yeah. They don't also bury the lead. Like, it's like word for word. They take stuff from the book. Also, it's also helped by the fact that Michael Caine is absolutely fucking going for it in this movie. He is playing opposite Muppets.
Yes.
And the man is like, you know what? I'm going to win an Oscar.
He should have.
Can I give you my favorite fact that I found? I knew you're going to like this fact. I saw this. I immediately wrote it down. So when Brian Henson offered the role to Michael Caine looked at him and he replied, I'm going to play this movie like I'm working with the Royal Shakespeare Company. I will never wink. I will never do anything Muppety. I'm going to play Scrooge as if it is utterly dramatic role and there are no puppets around me.
And it works.
Fuck, it works so well. You immediately buy, it works so well.
How about my delight when I asked pretty early on, does Michael Caine sing in this movie? And Damo was like, yeah, he has a line.
He has a whole song.
It's so good.
I love this movie. I watched it for like the last 3 years every Christmas, but I was like, oh, I can't remember how. I'm pretty sure he sings, I don't want to let Carney down. He had such a look of delight on his face. So I said, I think he's got a line in the song.
So beautiful.
Because the question was actually when.
Mm.
When does he sing? And Damon, I'm like, when he's earned it.
Oh. When he's ready.
It is an incredible movie.
It really is. What I loved about it, the love and care that clearly went into this film. Like, the set design is phenomenal in my opinion. I think it's amazing.
It's a little incidental Muppet stuff.
Yes, it is.
Just like the world build, like there's like a little Muppet up here. There's that creepy spider Muppet that like works for the prostitutes or something. I don't know.
See that scene though when Kermit's walking and you can just see that it's like the set spinning on like a wheel or something.
Yeah.
Everything's just so clever.
Yeah. And then they even managed to get like the crane shots of their must be a model city. But I'm in. I'm believing it that this is ye old England.
I really personally love that when it's Christmas Day and he's doing all these nice things, it doesn't linger on what he does at his nephew's house. Instead, it invests the time in what's happening with, you know, with Kermit and with Tiny Tim. And it's just fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Breaks your heart.
It does. And it's like with Michael Caine singing, as much as like, oh, are we going to see Michael Caine sing? That's going to be fun. It was also kind of beautiful because he doesn't have a good singing voice.
No.
He
goes for it. He gives 110%.
The dancing.
He does this Ebenezer Scrooge dancing that is just one of the most beautiful things because he's just giving everything. You believe that he has learned his lesson and he doesn't have these cares anymore. It's so great.
It's a joyous movie.
It is a joyous movie.
It really is. And
I'll watch it every Christmas now.
Generally scary. I might watch it again.
I'm thinking I might too.
Just pop it on. Just kiss a rat. Turn to my housemate, kiss him on the nose.
Yeah.
Both get infected, die the next day.
Yeah, but you know,
Those bloody rats.
I've died happy.
Yeah.
Then I'll come and visit people as the ghost of Christmas past. And my Christmas past will be when I kissed that rat and got the plague.
And I did love the Gonzo take as Charles Dickens, because obviously in the book there's a strong narrator who isn't Dickens, it's just the narrator.
Yeah.
So the idea of bringing that out and having Charles Dickens actually narrate and go along as we go along. And then I also read that they chose Gonzo because they thought he was the Muppet least likely to be Dickens.
Because he's not refined, he's falling off shit.
Right.
I tell you what, I do love it. He is perfect, but also it allows them to do like the dumb Muppety stuff while they're telling this like really serious story. And you have that great bit where he's like, I'm Charles Dickens. Whereas I was like, no, you're not. Charles Dickens was a titan of literature from the Victorian era. Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, so and great. Like, it's the little things there. Like they have all the Christmas Carol hallmarks, but like the fact that his first job was working at a joke factory.
Yeah.
Very good.
It was very, very good. And I also appreciated when Gonzo as Dickens said, all right, well, I'm going to go because this part's too scary for me and I don't want to watch it. I'll catch up with you guys later. You're like, oh, awesome. Can we do that?
I mean, that Christmas Yet to Come is not a nice bloke.
No.
No.
Bad bloke.
The hand on him.
The open. Tell you what, someone was like, gun to your head, who do you want to face, Krampus or Christmas Yet to Come?
Krampus.
Give Krampus him a big kiss. Day of the week.
Tell you what, actually. And again, if someone was like Krampus, Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, Ghost of Christmas Past. No, nothing to do with past. I'd rather cop.
Would you rather kiss Krampus?
Yep.
Or shake Ghost of Christmas to Come?
Kiss Krampus.
Hand.
Chris Krampus.
Yeah.
Chris Krampus.
Chris Krampus.
What's your name? My name is Chris Krampus. Welcome to the Muppet Christmas Carol. I'm Chris Krampus.
What line of work are you in, Chris? Death.
I'm big on Christmas and also murder.
Have a decoration.
And die.
Do you think if you face Krampus and there is a moment where you're both, he's coming at you with his ghostly, ghastly face and you give him the Rizzo the Rat kiss on the nose, do you think he just lets you go?
Yep. Yeah, I think 100%. You save the world.
That's how you win.
That's how you get
that's
your
how
wink.
We get out.
Yeah. That's how you get a wink. You do that, he's giving you that wink.
Yeah, and you survive. Everyone survives.
He giggles like a schoolgirl first.
And then
he gives you a double wink.
Slowly transforms and he's the big giant of Christmas present. Because that's beautiful. Who he was all along. He just needed a kiss on the nose.
Well, let's talk about Ghost of Christmas Present because I loved him.
Oh, yeah.
He made me so happy.
Yeah.
Because he's in the present.
He's living in the present.
He's living in the present all the time.
This movie's so fucking good.
Also, I love how he comes in, he sings a song, and then Scrooge is just so happy.
Yeah.
And then so crushed when he realizes that everybody hates him.
Yeah.
It's so, again, we know that's going to happen because we know the story, but again, the way Michael Caine plays it. Oh, man.
Was he nominated for a Golden Globe?
Sure, he was nominated. You know what? While we're doing this, I'm going to look that up.
Have a look.
Please do.
If you have any.
Well, this movie, when Muppets Christmas Carol came out, it was when Home Alone 2 got released.
Okay.
So I had Stiff. Competition in the Christmas movie genre for that year.
Big time.
So I don't think it took them by storm, but originally it was going to be like straight to VHS release.
Waste.
Or straight to television, I should say. Yeah, yeah. And then basically Disney or whoever read the script and said, no, this is going to be a feature. Let's do this right.
I can't see
you would have thought he would
any
get
awards.
A nomination for, musical or comedy.
Did that category exist
maybe
back in 92? Perhaps
it didn't.
It's really not up for anything.
I think it's a Dark Knight situation. They changed the rules.
Oh, hang on. No. One win, one nomination. Ah. Fuck. It was up for a Grammy.
Oh, shit.
Best musical album for children.
Album, okay. Right.
It was nominated for Best Direction at the Fanta. It won Best Direction at the Fanta Festival.
The Fanta Festival,
yeah.
As in the drink Fanta?
I'm trying to find out what the fuck the Fanta Festival is.
The direction was very good. So this is Brian Henson's first film directing. And midway through, Michael Caine, he didn't know that when he first signed on. And midway through, he's like, are you serious? This is your first feature film? Like, that's unreal.
It's like an Italian film festival.
Okay. Good work, Italy.
It beat like a whole bunch of random. Like George Romero's won awards at this film festival. So maybe it's like a weird like puppet fantasy one.
Yeah.
Did Kermit accept the award or?
Well, it was now Best Direction. It hadn't been Best Actor. He would have.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder what if I got the nominees.
Do you reckon we'll ever see a day where, like, the Academy do one of those? You know how they every year they have, like, a Life Achievement Award?
Yeah, yeah.
Will Kermit the Frog win it?
Jim Henson surely might get one.
He'd have one already, wouldn't he?
Tell you what, since, like, we're getting back into the Muppets again in a big way, I've started following a couple of Muppet accounts on Twitter. Okay. And every now and again, they just post, like, really
show
nice
me those
things.
Later.
there's a great one the other day, which is just Jim Henson interviewing Frank Oz about Miss Piggy. And so it's the two of them, like, as them, except Frank Oz has got Miss Piggy. And so Jim's talking to the camera about Miss Piggy and her appeal and how all these people like her. And Frank Oz is in this interview as Miss Piggy. Like, he's just sitting there going, oh, doo-doo, like, and it's him. Because you can see this, like, balding man.
Right.
And Jim's addressing questions at Frank and also at Miss Piggy. And Frank's just trying to make Jim Henson laugh the entire time.
That's awesome.
And he gets him finally at the end when he's just like, and who are you again? Oh, it just warms my heart. Fucking love the Muppets.
Yeah. It's that right blend of genuine comedy that surprises you and makes you laugh. Like the kiss on the nose is a great example. And genuine heart. Like, there's very few sort of things that could do that.
But they're also all trying. Like, that's the thing. Like, the production value on this film, the effort going, no one's phoning it in.
Oh, no,
like,
yeah.
So the incidental Muppets, like, these characters are also, like, such fascinating creatures for where, like, it just, oh, boys, I love the fucking Muppets. So much.
I've watched two Muppet movies this year, and they've both been 5 stars.
Mate, I need to give you those other ones.
I'm so keen for Treasure Island.
Oh, different because Tim Curry is doing a lot of winking in that one.
I don't mind a wink.
But the tone of that's different. Mm. Oh, mate. Heart for days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, got one of my favorite dumb jokes. That they're doing a roll call at the start of, like, the ship's about to head off.
Yeah.
And they've got... So it's like, you know, Hook Hands Johnson. It's like, here, it's like Axe McGillicuddy. Like, all the, so Kermit's like this, you know, I've got this great crew and they're all fucking pirates. And he's like, are we sure this? Anyway, the best one is there's Old Tom. It's like, here. It's like, really Old Tom? Here. Dead Tom. It's just a skeleton. It's like, Dead Tom? Dead Tom. And Fozzie just puts his hand in the skull and is like, here.
Do you love it more because it's Tom?
No, I just love... And Old Tom, really Old Tom, and Dead Tom being pirates. And Dead Tom is just a skeleton in the hat.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's that good version of silly.
Yeah.
Where there's something heartwarming about it because it is silly.
But again,
because
they all care.
Yeah.
They all give a shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I'll ask the question.
Yep.
It might be redundant, but so were we scared? Did our characters act foolishly? How would we handle ourselves in this environment?
So were we scared? Christmas past, absolutely.
She's terrifying.
Genuinely, yeah.
Marley and Marley as a child used to fucking terrify the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah, that would do it, yeah.
As did Christmas Yet to Come.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense that we've had in other films.
No, not in Us or a Tall Grass.
Very much in a, oh, that's just...
Especially as, like, as grown men, you know, it's like, oh, that has the potential to be scary. I think, as a kid... Having, the Muppets, this is going to be a good old time. And then having those apparitions coming at you genuinely looking a bit creepy and awful would be scary.
Yep. It's a no good.
Yeah. Did the characters act
wisely? So Scrooge, I suppose.
I think so.
I mean, yeah, he learned his lesson.
He acts real wise. The only character that doesn't act wisely is Rizzo when he goes over the gate and then goes back through it. And like, such a classic gag.
Yeah.
Just when he's like, wait, you can go through the gate? And he's like, yeah. And they just move on. Oh, I love it.
So, I mean, Scrooge definitely acted well, like, in the sense that he was someone who needed to learn a lesson and he learned the lesson through and through.
Yep.
You know. So, he definitely did. So, how would we do in this set if we were the Scrooges of this?
Oh,
I don't know.
If boys.
Yeah.
All right, let me just put this scenario out here. Mm. So, I'm not going to talk to you about the ghosts.
Okay.
But if one of those ghosts showed you Kermit the Frog and his family and that sick boy. And then another ghost showed you Kermit the Frog grieving for that sick boy.
Yeah. But holding it in, it's the restraint that breaks.
Dad takes a little bit longer to walk home these days.
Oh, God, help me.
Boys, we would fucking burn down every bank for a mile.
I'll change my ways. Whatever it was I was doing, I'll stop immediately.
There's no other way for this movie to go.
No.
Or us.
No.
We were in that role.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's too well structured. Kermit brings it home too strongly for anyone not to learn their lesson.
I fucking love Kermit with all of my heart. He's just a fucking legend.
think it's the most beautiful thing ever. I love Kermit with all my heart.
Carney's face is just lit up like, at the moment. Like, the smile on his face.
I wish he was real. I wish I could meet him.
Sean.
And shake his hand. Sean. Someone shake. No, I don't meet Sean. Your heroes.
Yeah. Sean.
He is real. He's real in here. He's pointing to my heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's real in all of
Fuck, he's the best.
What a great movie. I'm definitely watching it again.
I think I will too.
If someone genuinely needs to get their Christmas spirit back, I would recommend this movie.
Yeah, 100%.
Because there was a point, there was one song, I'm failing to remember what the name was, where both of you kind of looked at me, Tom, I think I was like sort of humming along. Because I remember.
It's when Christmas present comes. It's whatever song he sings.
Yeah.
You were humming to it and then Tom was like, you watch this every Christmas, don't you, Dad?
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, and I just, like today I just got my Christmas spirit back. I'm like, I'm ready for Christmas now.
I might even go home and watch it tonight.
Just do. Just even have it on the background so you can have the songs happening. You can turn around and see the dancing of Scrooge.
His dance is so, like, it's a terrible dance.
It's so dorky but amazing.
It's fucking great.
Because he's letting loose. It's so fucking good.
It's so good.
It's incredible.
If they made this movie again today, Michael Caine could still play Scrooge.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, please do.
And he should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely, the only other person who'd have as much fun would be someone like Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be very good. I think when we watched it, we talked about, like, could De Niro do it? Could Pacino?
Pacino would go full on into it.
Mm.
De Niro would ham it up and fuck it up and phone it in it. And
Glenn Close.
Oh, Sean, you've completely blown my mind, but she would.
You could put her in anything.
Yeah. Sean.
Yeah,
if we're changing the gender of Scrooge,
go for it, mate.
To Edna Scrooge,
yeah.
Glenn Close, another strong candidate. Emma Thompson.
Oh,
yeah. She loves a Christmas movie. One,
yeah.
Two, she would give it everything she had.
Yeah.
Three, she can sing. I think.
Home run.
Out of the park.
How do we make this happen?
I really want to see a Glenn Close version of this movie.
I mean, to be fair, you're not wrong. It'd be pretty good.
Although, we've already got the perfect 5-star version of it.
Yeah.
Are we
being greedy? We're asking too much.
We're being Scrooge.
This is the lesson we need to learn. All right. Fuck it. Tiny Tim lives. We'll take it all back.
Oh, the movie lives forever.
In our hearts.
We did it, guys.
And in real life.
As a Christmas
story. Everybody should watch this. And they should tweet us and tell us how much they fucking love it.
Do you know what I can't wait for when we continue watching scary films? Is we'll watch a scary film and then immediately watch A Christmas Carol after
it. This is our go-to.
It should be the thing, yeah.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the scaredy talk / Christmas talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners have any comments about this episode or want to say hi or let us know some scary movies that you would like us to watch, you can email us on 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Now, I did have someone message us on Facebook who quite rightly pointed out every week or every episode I say 3 Scared Boys, but don't state whether it is the number 3 or the word 3. It is both. I've been waiting for someone to kind of comment on this. So I just got both emails. They direct to the one email account.
I was going to suggest just send 2 emails and hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
That's great.
Send it to either one. I've got it covered, guys. But yeah, do email us and we'll have a mailbag episode or something like that at some point.
I just want to make a disclaimer real quick.
Yeah.
You can suggest horror movies for us. We'll love it. If you suggest something really fucked, we just won't watch it. So just like keep it on our level.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
Some realistic offers.
Go with whatever you want.
Sean.
We just might not do it.
Yeah, correct. Oh, yeah, you can offer us like, you can be like, hey, you boys should watch Midsommar. And I've already seen it, so I don't have to. But I know that these other two just won't. So don't do that.
I mean, you're talking to 3 men who chose Muppet's Christmas Carol as one of their scaredy movies.
Heroes. I guess if you're also like a scaredy boy or scaredy girl, send an email to that address. I don't know. Just tell us about your scaredy
journey. Please share your experience.
We're all on this journey together, boys and girls.
And if you do want to talk to us on Twitter as well, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Orca Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.